May 5th, 2013, European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio. Derek Brandeo is alongside me. On the show, we will discuss Chelsea visiting Old Trafford and what their victory over the Red Devils means for their Champions League qualification hopes. Bobby McMahon, he'll join us in a little bit to discuss the Merseyside Derby and whether or not it's lost its luster over the years, as well as the relegation fight in the Barclays Premier League. Juventus, they've won another Italian championship, and we'll also touch on the Champions League final preview that happened in Germany this week. At EFWSN590 on the Twitter, Dan.Riccio at sportsnet590.ca is where you can reach us via email. Send us your thoughts on anything that's happened this week in the major European football leagues. But we'd also like your thoughts on a couple of specific things. Has the Merseyside Derby between Liverpool and Everton lost its luster? And I ask that because today they lost, or they didn't lose. It was a 0-0 draw. And there was hardly the intensity that usually comes with a Merseyside derby. And it struck me as odd to see that happen. And another thing with Wigan Athletic. Yearly, they are a team fighting their way out of relegation. We've talked about it on Twitter, at EFWSN590. Wigan likes to dance their way out of the relegation late on in the season, and we've come to call it Latic magic here on European Football Weekly, and it was alive and well again as they came back from 2-1 down to defeat West Bromwich Albion 3-2 this weekend. And they have a bit of a predicament coming up, and that is Wigan has the FA Cup final to play against Manchester City here on May 12th. You'll see that match on Sportsnet World. But they also need as many points as possible to save themselves from relegation in the Barclays Premier League. And it really becomes a case of, what would you like more? Do you not start your regular team in the FA Cup final in hopes of having your best 11 in those final matches in the Barclays Premier League to save yourself from relegation? Derek, it's really going to be a question of what Wigan wants to prioritize here.
I think their chairman, Whelan's, already said that it's Premier League or bust.
So. Well, the chairman will always refer to the Premier League because that's where the money is made.
And
if you
bills.
Stay in the Premier League, from day one, you get £30 million or thereabouts just from TV rights for being in the Premier League.
I think it's going up with the new deal as well.
And it probably will be going up because NBC has struck quite a new deal with the Barclays Premier League. But, of course, here in Canada, we watch it on Sportsnet. So, but it really becomes, then, is it for the fans? Would the fans rather their team stay in the Premier League, or they get that trophy win to remember for years and years and years to come?
That's really an interesting question because, you know, you could talk about Arsenal and, you know, they're desperate for a trophy, but they're constantly in the top four and always out hunting. With Wigan, this is kind of, I would argue that the Premier League is better than a trophy for me, honestly. You know, you get to see the top flight of football every week. You don't have to, you know, go down to the N-Power Championship or whatever it's called this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, wrestle for 46 games with, you know, some teams that, you know, take Stoke's tactics and then add, you know, take them to another level.
So there's more teams that play like Stoke? Wow, yeah. Stoke.
In English football? No.
Yeah, Stoke are the prime English tactically placed team in the Barclays Premier League. They definitely beat you to any result that they can get. Well, that's enough about Latic Magic. We'll get Bobby McMahon's thoughts on Latic Magic and whether or not it's a real thing.
Whether he can put his thumb on it and explain it.
Sprinkle dust on each other as they head out onto the pitch? How does this Latic Magic come about? We'll ask Bobby McMahon about that in the next segment.
And it's odd to consider that they've lost their three best defenders, and it's one of those things that you just can't put your, you know, head around sometimes. Same with Aston Villa, too.
Yeah, Villa has had their own bit of magic this season. Moving on here on European Football Weekly, I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo alongside me. Follow us on Twitter at EFWSN590. Manchester United hosted Chelsea today, and it was a big match for Chelsea, not as much for Manchester United as they've wrapped up the Barclays Premier League title. And, you know, they can coast their way through the rest of the season, but Chelsea is in a dogfight for UEFA Champions League qualification to make that top four with Arsenal and Tottenham Hotspurs. This was a huge victory for Chelsea to get the 1-0 victory. And yeah, it was difficult and it seemed to lack a little bit of intensity at times, but Chelsea overall were the better team. And I think Sir Alex Ferguson alluded to that in his post-match comments. But did Chelsea deserve this win here, Derek?
Well, you deserve, Manchester United's already won. They're going to probably not take the game as seriously as Chelsea did. Rafa Benitez does have a really good record against Sir Alex Ferguson with his team, so deserves probably something that doesn't really matter at this point. You know, results is the only thing that matters.
It comes down to this, I think. And I think Rafa Benitez mentioned it in his post-match comments. They don't really have much to play for, so it's hard to stark up a ton of motivation here in the late matches of the season, but Chelsea have it all to play for, and that Champions League spot means a lot to them, so they still have to get everything that they can out of these last three games that they have. So if you just look at it that way, you can see why Chelsea looked like the better team in this match.
Not only that, could you imagine Roman Abramovich if they don't get that top four spot?
And no Jose Mourinho coming in the summer?
That would be an interesting turn
if
of
there's
events.
No Champions League.
If Chelsea don't make it, yeah.
Yeah, there's no Jose Mourinho. I think you can pretty much guarantee that. One of the incidents that happened in this match, kind of controversial, David Luiz gets kicked by Rafael in the late minutes of the game. Rafael, the Manchester United fullback, responded to a couple of elbows, I guess you might say, from David Luiz as he was trying to hold him off the ball. And being a young player, Rafael, he reacted and he retaliated. And if you're the retaliator, you will most likely get the brunt of the punishment. And that certainly happened with Rafael as he got a red card.
Well, referees 101, you know, you'll always get the retaliator.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a few words in Portuguese bantered back and forth too while that was happening. David Luiz's, wry little smile as he was laying down, feigning hurt. I don't know. Maybe he smiles when he's hurt.
Maybe.
I don't know what other explanation you can give for that. You know, looking at the flagpole and just kind of with a smirk on his face, then looking up to see the referee. And
writhing
then,
in pain on the ground, he had a little smirk on his face.
the continuing, diving and all that stuff that everybody loves so much about our game. It's sad to see, you know, Rafael did kick out, but he got a lot of air, I'm going to have to say.
Yeah.
But,
he hardly got any of David Luiz.
He got hardly any Luiz on that one.
But it should have been a red card, in my opinion, just for the violent conduct. He clearly intended to try and inflict punishment on David Luiz, whether or not he didn't.
I agree with that. Absolutely. Intent is always talked about in football.
Yeah.
Did he intend to do it or not? Did Nani intend to, stick his studs in Arbeloa for that Champions League game? So that's a tough thing for referees to always judge. And I would rather they, they're probably judged a little harsher on that kind of thing than normally.
There's been quite a bit of banter this week about Manchester United and how they will go about their summer transfer window. What do they need is a debate that has been going on for weeks. And they're mostly rumored to strikers. Robert Lewandowski, famed by that 4-goal performance against Real Madrid in the first leg of the UEFA Champions League semifinals, and Radamel Falcao, who's scoring goals by the bucket in La Liga. So I don't know if they have their priorities right. That's my opinion. I think they need a central midfielder. And as our producer Igor Henriquez will tell you, they definitely, definitely, definitely need a winger to replace Antonio Valencia, to replace Nani, because those guys are not getting it done. But again, as I said, most of the talk goes to another top-flight striker, whether it be Falcao or Robert Lewandowski, to partner themselves with Robin Van Persie.
You know, last year we said the same things. They need to freshen up that defense. They need to, you know, bring in somebody new in the midfield to take over for Scholes, who was, you know, brought out of retirement. And they bring in Van Persie, and his goals at the beginning of the year papered all over those cracks. And it's almost shocking to see how inconsistent everybody else has been around them while they've just, you know, maintained a consistency. And Fergie's probably just thinking it's probably easier to get goals than to get some of those other players that he's thinking about.
Yeah, and a lot of the talk has also been about whether or not Cristiano Ronaldo will make a return to Old Trafford. That would be a massive, massive transfer. Upwards of £65 million is the rumored number. But also there's Gareth Bale. Could they enter the Gareth Bale sweepstakes if Tottenham do not make the Champions League for next season?
I would suggest that Daniel Levy has had his almost fill of dealing with the Manchester United board of directors or even Fergie for any transfer dealings. So I would suggest that if Bale goes anywhere, it's going to be outside of England.
I would agree with that. And if anybody's going to take lessons from Arsenal selling Manchester United, their top player, it should be their North London rivals, the Tottenham Hotspurs, to not sell Gareth Bale to Manchester United, because we saw how that's worked out this season. Speaking of the Tottenham Hotspurs, they get a 1-0 victory over Southampton this weekend. Gareth Bale delivers late. This is exactly what Tottenham needs late on in the season, where they've struggled to get points and secure that top four position that they so desperately want.
More of the same from Gareth Bale. This is why he's, you know, pulled off all three major awards.
That's why he's the PFA player of the year.
That's why he's being talked about as, you know, the next great player to enter the stratospheres of, you know, Messi and Ronaldo. And you see it every week. The guy's just become so clutch for that team.
Yeah.
It's unreal. You almost expect, it's gotten to the point where you do expect it. You know, it's 85 minutes, you know, 0-0 game. Let's see some Bale magic here. And he's been doing it week in, week out. It's fantastic. It's fun to watch on top of it all.
It has probably been the best thing about the Barclays Premier League this season, and that is watching Gareth Bale and the marvelous, marvelous goals he can score on a week in, week out basis. Over to their North London rivals. Arsenal visited Loftus Road for already relegated Queen's Park Rangers. And Theo Walcott scores the fastest goal in Arsenal history. And they just played out the string for the rest of the 89 minutes. Arsenal get the 1-0 victory over QPR. And it helps their Champions League qualification hopes. We'll get more into this Champions League qualifying talk with Bobby McMahon. But Arsenal, it's been, they've evolved as the season's gone on. They've, at the start of the season, they came out and they would give up goals and they would play from behind and play much better from behind and score goals late in the game to come back and maybe get 3 points. Now it's been the complete opposite in recent weeks. They're scoring in the first couple minutes and playing out the string, playing hard defense.
It's one of those odd things that you didn't think that this team could do, because for so long, you're like, where's the resolve? Where's the steel in this team? Granted, they played QPR, so let's not go overboard, but it's something that is different from what you expect. Usually you expect them to play people off the pitch, and recently they've been, you know, fighting out some decent results.
It is European Football Weekly. We will be joined by Bobby McMahon of Fox Soccer News in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. And please send us your tweets, your thoughts, at EFWSN590 on Twitter, Dan.Riccio at Sportsnet590.ca. Who do you think will come out between Chelsea, Tottenham, and Arsenal as the two teams to make it into the UEFA Champions League next season? Send us your thoughts at EFWSN590. It is European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio. Derek Brandeo is with me on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio. Derek Brandeo is alongside me. We are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, 2013. It's a beautiful day here in the city of Toronto. I can't read your Twitter name, so I'm just, you know who you are, who tweeted in. It's a difficult name to say, and I don't want to butcher anything here. Wednesday's match between Spurs and Chelsea is key, but I think Arsenal and Chelsea will get through to the UEFA Champions League. Arsenal, they need a new center forward. Do you think it will be Jovetic? We thank you for your tweet. I tend to agree with you. I think that Arsenal and Chelsea will make it through. Tottenham does not have the track record. They seem to always fall away late on in the season. So it's difficult to see Tottenham pulling it out here in these last three games.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Oh, but we can agree that this match on Sportsnet this coming week, Wednesday, 2:30 p.m. between Chelsea and Tottenham will be huge in the top four discussion.
Possibly, but at the same time, if I think the way it works out, is it three games left?
Or yes, yeah. For Spurs and Chelsea.
Yeah, I think the math works out that even if Tottenham and Chelsea lose a game each on the way towards, if they win the two more games, I think they're guaranteed. I'm not sure exactly, but if my memory is correct there.
It's going to be interesting for sure. And I follow the Serie A very closely. And you can see my blog every Monday on sportsnet.ca/soccer. And I really believe Stefan Jovetic of Fiorentina would be a huge signing for Arsenal. I think he would fit in great with Arsene Wenger and company. We now welcome to the show Bobby McMahon of Fox Soccer News. You can see him on Sportsnet World with that show throughout the week. Bobby, thank you for joining us here on European Football Weekly.
My pleasure, guys.
First off, we wanted to get your thoughts on the Merseyside Derby. Obviously, it was a 0-0 draw today on Sportsnet World. It seems to have lost a little bit of the intensity that it once had. There was only three yellow cards. I don't understand.
It was like watching a kindergarten game. It's just, we're so used to Liverpool and Everton going at a hammer and tongs. It was surreal.
Yeah.
Everton, you know, really, I think we're quite happy with the draw. Liverpool missed Suarez. Liverpool a little bit more aggressive and going for it a little bit more, but it was pretty insipid. It was very disappointing.
Yeah, even the goal getting called back was kind of odd because, as you said, usually we see some bloody knees and elbows in these games.
I was looking at the games this morning. I thought, you know, Merseyside Derby first, Manchester United, Chelsea second.
It was supposed to be Super Sunday.
Yeah, that was, as it turned out, it was almost scoreless Sunday.
Yeah, it was very close to being scoreless Sunday. Do you think the lack of intensity has anything to do with both clubs kind of being entrenched in their current positions in the Barclays Premier League?
I think you've got to say if this game, you know, as we go back to the first game of the season when they drew 2-2 and Liverpool had that goal disallowed very late that probably shouldn't have been disallowed, but the intensity that day, I think you really saw, you know, what a Merseyside derby usually is. And I think at this stage of the season now, both teams have realised, you know, Liverpool really needed to get that win today to have a chance of catching Everton. Everton had to make sure that they didn't lose to make it almost impossible for Liverpool to catch them. Two games left for each of them and a 5-point differential. It's an awful lot to make up for with two games to go. So I think it was just a case of, as far as Everton are concerned, what we have, we hold. And looking to finish ahead of Liverpool for the second successive season. And that, I guess, in Liverpool terms, Merseyside terms, is success.
It is European Football Weekly. We're joined by Bobby McMahon of Fox Soccer News. I'm Dan Riccio. Derek Brandeo is alongside me. Bobby, moving over to the upcoming game between Chelsea and Tottenham, how big is this match in terms of top four qualification?
Oh, you go through the scenarios. If you're an Arsenal supporter, you're sitting there hoping to hell that Tottenham don't win the game.
Yeah.
Because that is the scenario going in. After Arsenal dropped the points to Manchester United when they drew 1-1 last Sunday, the scenario that Arsenal fans dreaded was the fact that at that point, their destiny was out of their control, because Chelsea could afford to lose one game against Tottenham, win the other three, and Tottenham, if they could win all the rest of their games, Tottenham and Chelsea would go through and Arsenal would be the odd team out. That could happen if Tottenham go to Stamford Bridge on Wednesday and get the win. Now, the other thing we've got to look at here is, and we've got to try and get into Rafa Benitez's brain a little bit.
No, that's not easy.
No, it's not, but we've got a lot of Chelsea games coming up. They've got two league games left after the Tottenham game, plus they have the Europa League final as well. But they've got a chance essentially, if they can beat Tottenham on Wednesday, Chelsea guarantee themselves a Champions League spot. Tottenham could catch them on points, but the goal differential is so great at that point that there is no way Tottenham are going to catch. I think there's a difference of about 17 goals or 16 goals at the moment. So a Chelsea win would actually guarantee, and that means they could rest up for the last two league games, particularly the Aston Villa game, which is a big boost for Aston Villa, of course, in the relegation fight. And then the last game of the season is at Everton, but that happens after the Europa League final. But you're thinking that maybe Benitez is looking at this and trying to convince the players, give this one last crack, we can rest up on Saturday and we can look forward to Europa League, so let's put everything into this game on Wednesday.
Bobby, do you think that if Tottenham does, you know, they have a very good chance, because I think they've played the top four teams the best out of anybody else this year, especially with some fantastic performances from Gareth Bale.
Yep.
But if Arsenal do end up, you know, dropping down to fifth in this, is this finally probably the final nail in Arsene Wenger's coffin?
No, I don't think so. I don't go along with that that line of thought. I think he's deserved after so many years of getting them in the Champions League. I think there has been some signs of improvement. You look at that defence, has tightened up considerably the last few weeks. Wilshere continues, you know, to be the great hope for the future. But there's certainly areas of the team that need to be strengthened. But I think he's earned that year, and perhaps a year in the Europa League wouldn't be so bad. Maybe, and I know some Arsenal fans think this way, that perhaps a slip down the fifth place would be the wake-up call to actually spend some serious money and bringing in players like Jovetic.
At EFWSN590 is where you can catch us on Twitter. Send us your thoughts. Who out of the three, Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal, will qualify for the UEFA Champions League? There's only two spots to be had between the three of them. Arsenal, they've got a tricky two fixtures left. Maybe not so much Newcastle, but this Wigan team, the Latic magic is alive and well, as it is at the end of every Barclays Premier League season. They pull out another victory against West Brom this weekend. This upcoming match between Arsenal and Wigan, it's not an easy 3 points for the Gunners.
No, it's not. And you look at the last game of the season, they go to Newcastle, and Newcastle could very well be in that relegation. It could be forced in a situation they may have to win their last game of the season. Although they do go to QPR this weekend, and you've got to think if they can't beat QPR in that game, then perhaps they don't deserve to stay up. But you're right, Wigan, at this time of the season, Wigan went to Emirates Stadium last year and won. A few years before that, they came back from 2-0 down to win 3-2 against Arsenal at DW as well. So they have got a little bit of track record against Arsenal. The one thing that we've got to play into this, though, this scenario, is we've got to remember Wigan have got a cup final on Saturday against Manchester City. So, you know, what happens in that game? And then they play, they play Swansea on Tuesday, Manchester City on Saturday in the cup final, then the Tuesday after they play Arsenal. So I think how that FA Cup final plays out will have a large bearing on that game at Emirates Stadium.
Bobby, if we go back just 6 weeks, it was almost guaranteed to think of who would be fighting for relegation. But since Villa and the Latic magic has happened, have we seen something like this in the last 10 years or so like that? Because I remember Fulham's great escape, but
yep.
I don't remember teams being brought back in this manner.
The only thing I can, there's one situation I can remember, and I'm going to say it's about 2003, 2004, and I might be off a couple of years of this, but I don't know if you guys remember when West Ham and Bolton went head-to-head. Over the last few weeks of the season, both went on tremendous runs, and I think West Ham finished up getting relegated that year with something like 42 points, and it was Sam Allardyce's Bolton that kind of survived. As far as sucking teams back down, there's a little bit of a history of that. You go back and look at Birmingham when they won the League Cup against Arsenal. That turned out to be their greatest moment, because after that they went in a tremendous slump in league play and finished up getting relegated that year. So there's an example there of a team getting kind of sucked down out of no place. To some extent, you look at Newcastle when they went down a few years ago as well. You look at them maybe 8 weeks out, 9 weeks out. We knew they were in trouble. We didn't think they were in that much trouble. They always seemed to be just maybe a win or two away from getting out of problems. And then suddenly you look at it and going, my God, Newcastle are going to go down. And sure enough, they did. So there's certainly Norwich perhaps is the team that might be most frightened of that just now, because they've looked to be on the cusp of safety for some weeks now, but just haven't been able to push through and get the couple of wins that they needed. They beat Reading, but that was a terrible blow to their hopes when they lost that second goal to Villa on the weekend.
Yeah, that was disappointing, to say the least. One last thing before we go. There's been so much talk about where Manchester United's priorities lie in the summer in the transfer window. And there's a lot of talk about having a lot of money to spend. Sir Alex has mentioned there could be one or two big name players coming to Old Trafford this summer. Where do you think their priorities lie? Where do they need to improve the most to stave off the chasing pack?
I'm beginning to come round the view that a move for Gareth Bale might be their best move. I don't put much credence in the idea of or the thoughts of Ronaldo coming back. You look at Ronaldo now, he's getting into his late 20s. Would you really want to spend the money you've got to spend on a force that is getting into his large part of his best years, plus somebody you've had before, who's played for you before? Bringing in somebody like Bale, still very young, still got his best years ahead of him, a player that can play wide, he can play multiple positions, explosive pace, can score goals, very exciting player. He ticks all the boxes you usually look for Alex Ferguson signings in terms of forwards, and I could see that being the transfer move of the summer.
Yeah, and we've seen in their recent games, they are desperately lacking on the wing in terms of quality.
Yep.
Bobby, I want to thank you for joining us here on European Football Weekly. We hope to chat again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks a lot, Bobby.
Thank you.
That was Bobby McMahon of Fox Soccer News here on European Football Weekly with myself, Dan Riccio, and Derek Brandeo. In the next segment, we'll take a look around the leagues in Europe. We'll take a little closer look at the Italian Serie A, as well as the Spanish La Liga and the German Bundesliga, where there was a UEFA Champions League final preview as Bayern Munich visited Borussia Dortmund for a preview of what is surely to be an exciting match at Wembley Stadium on May 25th, a match that is, of course, on Sportsnet. I'm Dan Riccio. Derek Brandeo is alongside me here on European Football Weekly, and this is Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Juventus song, which they play at Juventus Stadium week in and week out after a victory. As usual, it sounds beautiful in my ears.
Why are soccer anthems so horrible?
I don't understand. What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. That was fantastic.
It just reeks of cheesy, like, folk.
Yeah, it is kind of cheesy.
Folksy Italian.
I will admit that.
It's something I'd expect, you know, Silvio Berlusconi to have on. Well, if he wasn't the owner of AC Milan, to have on his, you know, his own personal album, which is a must get, by the way.
Well, 40,000 Juventus fans were singing that song today as they wrapped up their 29th or 31st
29th
Italian championship today against Palermo. They defeated 1-0. They only needed 1 point to clinch. And, well, a lot of the talk has become about can they compete in Europe, because really, the Serie A has had trouble competing in the UEFA Champions League since Inter won the tournament back in 2010 with, of course, Jose Mourinho.
And even that, at the time, was considered a blip.
Yes, it was. It seems like a far cry from the days where Juventus, Milan...
It ain't the 90s anymore.
Yeah, and even before that, there was a time when the UEFA Cup really became like the Coppa Italia, where Napoli and... all of those, Fiorentina, Juventus, all the teams in Italy really made the UEFA Cup kind of their own tournament. Well, because at the end, it was always them.
Yeah, you remember back to, you know, the 90s, and all of the big players were in the Italian league. The Serie A was the place to be, the destination for, you know, the Brazilians, for the Argentinians. You know, the EPL has only recently, maybe in the last 10, maybe 15 years, has started to really, you know, take away some of the foreign talent. Same with La Liga, but
which is really aided by the fact that they have massive, massive international TV deals for their product to go out around the world. And really, every team is healthy in the Barclays Premier League because there's just such a big pie to have for everyone to sharing that TV money. And it's not like that in Spain, where
no, not at all. It's a
Barcelona, yeah, where Barcelona and Real Madrid,
yeah, it's a hedge money there. They basically, you know,
there's no revenue sharing.
No, none at all. They make just, their own deals.
Yes.
And they're for ridiculous amounts of money, 140 million euros each. And then you look at the next guy, Valencia, who's the third best supported team in the country with maybe like 15% of the country supporting them.
Yeah.
Gets a paltry 40 million or something. And that sounds like a great chunk of money.
But when Barcelona and Madrid are making 150 million euros each,
they're packing 100 million on top of that.
Yeah.
Not on top of their, you know, shirt sponsors, and you know they have massive stadiums. I mean, Barcelona stadium holds about 100,000.
Yeah.
The Bernabeu holds 85,000, and it's just a completely intimidating fortress because it looks like a wall of people, you know, five tiers straight up. It's a very impressive stadium.
So, yeah, getting back to Juventus, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the summer to bolster their squad in hopes of a further run in the UEFA Champions League. As we know, they lost out to what seems like the best team in Europe right now, Bayern Munich, in the quarterfinal. But, yeah, as we talked about, the Serie A, they have a lot of problems in terms of finances and teams really struggling to compete on the Europe stage because of that.
Yeah, you could really tell by
it's become a feeder league. It's
the transfer action that you can see. You know, AC Milan, they still have the cachet. They still have, you know, these are still world, you know, European classic giant teams, but it's just not the same because you always see, you know, AC Milan's, you know, been selling their best players and they try to get players on the cheap, you know, which they did pretty well early on. That's how they got Kaká and some other players. But you know, you look at Juve when they needed a striker this year, you know, you bring in Nicholas,
they just got priced out of the market
Nicholas
by everybody.
Bentner, then you went and took a
Nicholas
flyer on Nicholas
Bentner
Anelka.
Is actually claiming this Italian championship as his own. Can you believe that?
Well,
he maybe made 5 appearances all season.
Well,
and now he's an Italian champion? Him and Nicholas Anelka, they haven't done anything. They contributed nothing to this championship season.
Well, you know, Nicholas Bentner, to take a shot at our good buddy Gord, has played on that, you know, fantastic Arsenal team that hadn't won anything. So I guess maybe, you know,
goes on to the list of famed Arsenal players to leave and win titles elsewhere.
And back to the Juve, you know, they're hoping that they can, I think the deal's already done for Llorente, but you never know what could happen in football. Contracts are broken all the time.
Exactly. And there's a lot of talk of where else they may go, but it's really, it hasn't been decided yet, and you never know with transfers. Stories change hourly, really.
By the minute.
European Football Weekly, I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, all around the table. At EFWSN590 is where you can catch us on Twitter. Send us your thoughts. Has the Merseyside Derby between Liverpool and Everton lost its luster a little bit? It seems like that after a 0-0 draw that lacked a lot of intensity. There was only 3 yellow cards, which is just preposterous for a Merseyside derby.
It's derby.
Derby.
Merseyside derby.
Okay, yeah. And also send us your thoughts. Who will make it to the UEFA Champions League in the Barclays Premier League between Chelsea, Tottenham, and Arsenal? It's going to be a dogfight over these last few games for those 3 squads fighting for those last 2 Champions League spots. In La Liga, another team wrapped up a title today.
No, they're only 11 points ahead. There's still 4 games left.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, Barcelona,
but it's been pretty much wrapped up for a month and a half now.
Yes. I really wanted to focus in on Lionel Messi, who we know did not play against Bayern Munich in the week on Sportsnet in their UEFA Champions League semifinal. And it was interesting because a lot of the talk was that Messi was injured. And he did not start. He did not play a minute of that game. But he comes on as a substitute in this game, scores 2 goals in 11 minutes. He scored the second goal while we were on the air, just getting on the air. So I'm not sure, but from Twitter reports, it was absolutely scintillating.
Yes, that is what I was reading as well. Unfortunately here, you know, we can't really watch these games unless you have the Spanish ESPN Deportes or something like that.
Which we do not have.
So it's hard to keep a track. It's hard. We try our best to keep a track of these games, but we can't. It's hard to watch them. But it does bring around the question of what were they doing? Because the week before, or the weekend game before the Champions League semifinal, seconds league,
Messi scored a ridiculous goal. He went through like five players,
and
it was incredible.
You're kind of thinking, okay, well, you know, Messi's kind of back to normal. At least he can, you know, do this in spurts, and they don't bring him out there. And I just kind of, it kind of makes you think that they gave up on this game already beforehand after that 4-0 defeat.
Yeah, it really seemed like they gave up ahead of the Bayern Munich match. And clearly, Messi was led on to be more injured than he is, because he clearly looked fine today, at least looking at the stat sheet. So, I don't know. That Barcelona team, they have a lot of work to do over the summer. There's some stuff that needs to be reworked at the Camp Nou, I think.
Well, I think you've seen the, as great as Messi is, I think you've seen the downfall when you rely solely on one player, even if it is the great Lionel Messi. It just, when Messi goes down, there's really no other option.
They haven't won a Champions League with him as their main goal scorer.
No.
In 2011, David Villa was there scoring lots of goals as well. When Messi,
well, he was the main goal scorer, but yes, he had someone backing him up. And
well, he wasn't scoring 70% of their goals.
No. I think Pedro even had a really good year that year.
Yes.
So they had the balance on the sides of Messi. And if you look back at their first all triumphant campaign under Pep Guardiola, you know, they had Thierry Henry and Samuel Eto'o was, wow, I think, was more of a focus than maybe Lionel Messi was at that time, possibly. At least they were equal on even footing, because, you know, Eto'o was the scoring leader, at least for that season in La Liga.
At EFWSN590 is where you can catch us on Twitter. We're receiving a tweet right now, actually, from @Fazari on Twitter, and he corrected me. He said 31st Scudetto. That's all he said. 31st.
I'm pretty sure it's 29.
Well, by the book, it is 29 for Juventus, but if you were to go to the Juventus website, if you were watching the game today, you would have seen the players prancing around with their billboards that said 31. It's an ongoing discussion.
Lance Armstrong still has 7 Tour de France's, right?
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
In the German Bundesliga, there was a UEFA Champions League final preview. Borussia Dortmund were hosting Bayern Munich at the BVB Stadion. 1-1 was the final, but in this match, but you can also say how much of a preview was it, because both teams were resting their starters heavily in this match.
I believe in England you would call it a reserve squad game.
Yeah. Biscotti in Italy. Something like that.
Something like that.
Yes. Well, Bayern really only started Manny Neuer, Daniel Van Buyten, Jerome Boateng, and David Alaba are the four guys that we've seen regularly in the Champions League down the stretch here. So they really didn't care so much about this match, and they had the league wrapped up weeks ago, so they didn't need anything from this match technically. And Borussia Dortmund is comfortably in second, already qualified for the UEFA Champions League for next year.
Yeah, when you're scheduled, you know, for your heavyweight title fight, you know, from a week from now, you definitely don't want to, you know, spar too hard.
Yeah.
You know, with the same opponent before.
You don't want to tip any hands to anybody.
I don't know if they're really tipping any hands to each other. They have played each other quite a bit. They've been the two biggest.
They also played each other in the German Cup this year as well. So.
And it's kind of interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, because it's almost been a switch. You know, if you look back at the last 9 games or so, I think Borussia had their number for the first 5, and Bayern have completely turned it around. So,
well, Bayern's turned around everything this season. They are just a juggernaut. And
back-to-back Champions Leagues.
They should be favorites in the Champions League final on May 25th at Wembley Stadium against Borussia Dortmund. But, and I want to mention that you will be able to hear us on the Sportsnet590.ca web stream right after the final whistle on May 25th after the UEFA Champions League final on Sportsnet. And we'll break down that game, that's for sure. But again, this match here, 1-1, Lewandowski missed a penalty. It was kind of, you know, just left a lot to be desired. It wasn't the preview that I teed it up to be. I kind of led you on a little bit to all of our listeners.
Yeah, I had a fear that was going to happen in this game. You know, you just kind of see the writing on the wall. There's nothing to be won here or gained by, you know, throwing out your top team and trying to embarrass the other opponents. It just puts more material on the wall or whatever for them to, you know, bring into the next game.
That will pretty much do it for us here on European Football Weekly. We want to thank Bobby McMahon of Fox Soccer News. You can catch him throughout the week on Sportsnet World doing that show, as he is an expert, and he joined us to discuss many, many things going on in the Barclays Premier League. The relegation dogfight, top four qualification, the lacking intensity Merseyside derby. There was a lot to talk about in the Barclays Premier League this weekend. We also want to thank Igor Henriquez. Without him, we would not be here today. So a big, big thanks to our man, Igor Henriquez. We want to tell you, Chelsea-Tottenham, it's probably the biggest game of the season for both teams. And that match is on Sportsnet, 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Don't miss it. This match has huge, huge implications on who will get UEFA Champions League qualification for next season. Arsenal will also be watching very closely in that match because they need a Tottenham loss more than you know. For Derek Brandeo, I'm Dan Riccio. Catch the show on iTunes, on Sportsnet590.ca, and we'll talk to you next week.